Hey, good morning, everyone. It's Dave Weiner here. It's Tuesday, March 6th, 2018. And I just want to make, this really quick, if I possibly can. So I read a column in Wired by Felix Salmon. I just want to get this, get it up here. I should have put it up here first, of course. Let's do it. Okay. Right, it's entitled, "The Podcasting Juggernaut Has Finally Arrived," and the word finally is in parentheses, not sure why. Of course, this has been written many, many, many times. Many times, I have to say, every few months, podcasting has become a juggernaut. Everything that's come before, well, that's, you know, nothing compared to the juggernaut that it is now. And I'm sure it's going to get even bigger and the road is going to twist and turn even more. Because here's the deal. So this guy, I've met Felix Salmon, and I've certainly read a lot of his stuff over the years. And imagine you're like, you go to the United States for the first time. You've lived in Europe your whole life. And you come to the United States, and you land in New York, and you drive up the Hudson River. And so you write your story, because you're a journalist, and your story says, the United States is like a river. There's all this boat traffic on it, and it's very verdant, and there are little towns right along the river. There's some towns are bigger than others, and people seem to be eating quite well, and there are farms and factories and big highways and airports and all this, you know, this is the United States. And you go home and you feel like, I've done the job. The only thing is, you found the part of the United States that looks like Europe. It does. I mean, it's amazing. I'm from that part of the United States, and when I go to Europe, go to Germany or Holland, even, or England, or any place really in Europe, and it feels like the northeastern United States. Now, if you go to southern Europe, it feels a little bit more like the southern United States. And granted, in some places it probably feels a little bit more like California than it does like the east coast of the United States. But you've missed the whole thing. You have not gotten the gestalt. So the same thing happens when a professional reporter writes about new media. And this has also been going on for a very long time, even longer than podcasting. And what they tend to do is what that person from Europe does when they come to the United States is they look for something that is comfortable and familiar. And then they say, hey, it's really comfortable and familiar here. And they don't go to the Rocky Mountains. They don't go to the desert Southwest. They don't go to Seattle. They don't go to Portland or San Francisco, Los Angeles, Salt Lake City, Phoenix, Denver, Houston, Dallas, New Orleans. They miss a lot of what's going on. And so I feel a little bit protective of Wired, actually, because a lot of the original work that went into podcasting, the foundation that was built for podcasting, was actually built when I was at Wired. And we used the readers of Wired as the proving ground for these ideas. We didn't commercialize them there because Wired sort of became it became like the rest of the tech journalism world, because that's who they hired. that's as it grew, that's what it became. And now Wired is a New York journalism, and so it has a different flavor from the tech journalism that came from the 90s, in the late 90s, as Wired evolved. There, the reporters that they hired came from InfoWorld, PC Week, News.com, Red Herring, Upside, San Francisco newspapers, a few from tech columnists from Newsweek, you know, and Stephen Levy, is who I'm thinking of there. So there was a little bit of the East Coast stuff going in over there, and now it's totally East Coast. And, you know, Felix Salmon came from Reuters. He's British. When he looks at podcasting, he just sees a river. And the river is for real. I listen to the podcast he writes about. He writes about Serial, This American Life. Let's just go through this a little bit. I guess he says that This American Life was the pivotal podcast. And I think there's a lot to be said for that. It is a pivotal podcast. S-Town, which I loved, absolutely. And The Daily, which I consider today to be the absolute best podcast out there. It's the one, for me it is. I really rarely miss an episode of The Daily. And I don't doubt that there will be more that follow in its mold, because it's leading a new direction in podcasting. It's a totally valid direction. And it illustrates why it's totally wrong to ever conclude that you've now figured out what podcasting is, because it won't stay there. The thing that's, and I wrote in a very, very brief blog post this morning about this, and I said, you know, and I didn't make this up, the medium is the message. That's Marshall McLuhan. I was very young when that came out, and it's been there all my life, and it isn't until now that I really understand it. I mean, it's not now. I've understood it for the last 20, 25 years. I had to actually be directly involved in creation of media to understand that, in a way that people who just create in the media and who just listen to participate in the medium, I get it in a way that it's really hard to for people who have not created that specific message to really understand, perhaps. I had to put the perhaps in there for humility, or else people... I listened to a podcast yesterday I'm trying to remember what podcast it was. I cannot remember. Well, the guest was Jennifer Lawrence. Oh, I think it was the New Yorker Radio Hour, which, interestingly, comes from the same company that Wired does. They were interviewing her, and she was talking about the kind of reaction that she gets when she goes on tour. And so I kept thinking, would you please just say what you think? Because that's what I want to know. I don't want to know it. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Softened up so that you don't get slammed by the trolls. And of course, here I do it too. I have to be a little bit humble. What a ridiculous situation. Anyway, you know what the key thing about podcasting is? The key thing is this: you don't need to ask anybody for permission to do it. Because, number one, the distribution system is completely open. Anybody can put out a podcast. There's no central place to put them. It's inconvenient as hell, the fact that there's no central place to put them. Believe me, it makes it hard to use podcasts because of that. And so there's this tremendous pull for it to become centralized. And amazingly, here we are in... I'm going to say we're in the 14th year of podcasting now. It's resisted centralization. How can you tell? Because if you listen to what they say on the podcasts, you know, they don't say subscribe. A lot of them say, it's a mix. I heard yesterday somebody said on Apple, whatever, or wherever you get your podcast. They can't just say on Apple, okay? Because there are so many other ways to get podcasts that it's just they don't feel it's wise to. And I think my impression is that most of the announcements don't even say Apple. They just say get it wherever you get your podcasts. And it would be nice to do better than that. I do believe that. Blogging went through this, and the answer was Twitter. And that's how important that feature is, the ease of subscribing. Of course, subscribing isn't what anybody wants. Nobody wants to subscribe to a podcast. What you want is you want something cool to listen to right now. That's what you want. So, yes, there's nobody to ask for permission, and the costs are so low that that is actually practical. I suppose it was true. It was never true with radio. You had to get permission because these things were licensed. Spectrum was licensed. The ability to broadcast, that was licensed. There were codes of what you could say and what you couldn't say. If you didn't say it, if you said things you couldn't say enough, then you would lose your license. And so people didn't do that. If you and you would get fired because there was somebody who could fire you at any time. So, you know, it's a way different situation. So he uses, he uses This American Life as his focal point. I would never give you a focal point. I'd give you an example. An example is the Internet History Podcast. And it is totally, I mean, it's a very influential podcast, I have to say, and its influence is growing. And at some point, not too far down the road, it will even be obvious to Felix Salmon. He will have heard about it, and then he'll have to figure out how to put his world back together again so that he can believe that there's just a river and, you know, it's there's none of this other crap that I don't have to understand it because, you know, frankly, I don't want to. But Brian McCullough, the guy who did it, who I've met and I've been on the Internet History Podcast, but I waited quite a while before I went on it. I wanted it to see where it would go, and I didn't want to in any way try to influence it and just see what would happen. And it's lovely. It's his interviews are always interesting. You know, he's another one that I really like is Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin is a very natural interviewer, and he has a process, and he knows when to shut up. And he lets his, in other words, he lets his guests speak, but he directs them. And what he tries to get out of them, and it really is what the listener wants, or at least I want as a listener, is he asks you, how did you become who you are? And you know, he has an idea of who he's talking to because the people he talks to are famous and accomplished and have a story to tell. And he just pulls that thread of the story. How did you become? The last one I heard was Wolf. Geez, I can't remember his first name. The guy who wrote the Trump book. It's funny. I'm sorry, I don't remember. This is what happens as you get older, by the way. It's like you can't call it up. But oh, he's the guy who wrote the book Fire and Fury, and I think that's the title of it. And he's a character. This guy is a real character. He's perfect for Baldwin. And Baldwin just, you know, says, "Well, how did you become the guy who wrote this crazy book that everybody's been reading?" And he got him out, got it out of him. So that's also part of it. And what's really interesting about that is he parlayed that into a network job. He's now got an interview show, and it's not the first time he's had an interview show on TV, but he has it on ABC, and it came from the podcast, and it's awesome. That's perfect. And he even describes, I forget where I read this, somewhere, he describes he had one on MSNBC, and it was meant to serve the same purpose as the podcast has served, to be a proving ground before they put it onto, you know, the main network. But because he had to have a whole organization and had to have a producer, and the producer, you know, steered it in a certain way. Didn't understand what Baldwin was trying to do. Maybe Baldwin didn't fully understand what he was trying to do at the beginning either. But the podcast environment let him just do what he wanted to do, and then try it a different way next week and a different way after that, but not have to ask anybody or explain it to anybody. Because sometimes you can't explain it. You just have an idea and you want to try it and see what happens. Maybe it's no good and you don't want to have anybody to say, well, you know, you were wrong last time, so let's not do it this time, you know. I mean, organizations have a real way of tamping down creativity. So what podcasting offers is, and because it's not video, you can actually create something pretty compelling with very, very little production, or no production even. My podcasts would probably be better with a little bit of production. Some of that cool background music that they put on, you know, like The Daily has great interviews. They had one the other day with all the kids who were at the school in Florida, but not the ones that have been on TV, just kids who were in the classroom that got shut up, got shot up. And it was raw, and it was unbelievably good, just as storytelling and as journalism as and perspective altering. I mean, until this point, I hadn't heard a first person story of what it was like to be in a room that was being shot up by a guy with an AR-15. Think about it, all the hours and hours and hours of coverage that these stories have gotten, and yet this is the first time. Again, it's podcasting. They have infinite amount of time. They can do whatever they want with it. It's true they are within a larger organization, but look at how they did it. They did it. It's like, it's a what we called in the early days of the software industry, we called a backdoor sell. The reason why personal computers took off, well, first of all, they were incredibly powerful relative to what existed before that. That's probably the big reason why they took off. But why is it that the MIS people, that's what they used to call the IT people, Management Information Sciences, why is it that they let the computers in? Well, they didn't let them in. They didn't know they were coming in. People would hide them in their printing budgets or as an expense item for a trip that they took. That's how cheap they were, that you could tuck them away and people wouldn't even know what, you know, or they bought them themselves and brought them in from home. And nobody knew that they had them. And then when they finally figured it out, they were everywhere. And so they had no choice. That's what podcasting is. Same phenomenon. Everything that sprouts out of podcasting comes from the back door, not the front door. And that's why it is such an alive medium and so exciting. And to say that it's finally arrived is to completely not understand what is actually going on here. It's like they used to joke, where's the last page on the internet? on the web, to be fair. Where's that last page? It's a trick question. Of course, there is no last page because there is no ordering to the pages. A mathematician would understand that. There's no page one, there's no page two, there's no page 32,767. There's no ordering to the pages, so there's no first page, no last page. And podcasting as a juggernaut, it's always been a juggernaut, and it always will be. Until finally, you know how you'll know that it's no longer a juggernaut? When at the end of a podcast they say, and by the way, don't forget to subscribe, just go to this keyword. And they don't even have to say where you go. Just that this keyword and go in and type and click the subscribe button and you're done. That day, because the person or the people who decide what gets a place in that system will actually, that will be that's how the juggernaut will stop. As long as that doesn't exist, we're really cool. So, okie doke. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.